This isn't my normal sermon. It's more of a hybrid. And it begins with an invitation for you to listen to a letter that I was writing to God. Holy One, these stories of death and resurrection, whether in Ezekiel's vision or in long ago Bethany, fill my ears differently this year. The threat of death sweeps the globe as not only strangers, but our own communities, our own friends, feel its teeth. Teton County is now confirming 13 cases of COVID-19. Restrictions tighten in the world, in the state, in our town, in our households, as we try to slow infections so that resources might be available to those who need them. We identify with the beginnings of these stories from Scripture, grimly approaching a valley we know will be filled with bones, on the edge of the psalmist's depths. I'm distracted by thoughts of whose bones? Whose? Whose? How much is my father risking when he decides to carpool with a friend? On the other end of the spectrum, will my mom, with her hypervigilant precautions, be spared? And while I've been trying to practice social distancing, how many times have interactions intruded into that recommended 6-foot space? My hands are chapped with washing. And while the CDC says that touching a surface or object is not the main way the virus is transmitted, I still am painfully aware of door handles and computer keys. Did Ezekiel recognize the bones in his vision? Whose? 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 I can't help praying that my family, my parishioners, my friends be spared. Even as I lift up the neighbors that are faceless to me, the migrants in detention centers facing increased risk, those in prison, the states currently being hit hardest, New York, New Jersey, Washington, and California. I feel like Mary and Martha sending word to you, O God. Lord, your children, those you love, are ill. Come, come quickly. We wait for you, O Lord. Our souls wait. Far more than those watching for the morning. Far more than those watching for the morning. Come, come quickly. And we turn to your written word for hope. But I don't like the story of Lazarus much this year. Delay? As I brace for the infections to come, and yes, the deaths to come, as I grieve the communities already touched by infection and death, I'm ready to mourn and to accuse if you had been here. And then 400 words into my written prayer to God, yet another attempt at a sermon after several false starts. There is no delay. And the answer for God's presence is swift in a quick text. I received word that a parishioner I feared was in a high-risk situation on a cruise ship is still safe and healthy on a different ship. In this moment, my cries and the cries of my congregation feel heard. And I am reminded that on Thursday afternoon, in the midst of unburdening and sharing all the difficulties in my life right now with my spiritual director, I received a different text, and I exclaimed over a birth announcement. As we rejoiced, my spiritual director declared that it was Easter. That A word we're not supposed to use in Lent, in this moment, is ringing out again and again in my heart. But in Mary and Martha's story, and perhaps in this larger historical moment, delay is still felt. Having become invested in the cruise ship Zandman's plight, its passengers and crew remain in my prayers, even as I rejoice that a member of my flock is safe. Still, in this story from Scripture, delay is not unreasonable. When Jesus finally tells his disciples he's heading to Bethany, so close to Jerusalem, they're nervous. In their eyes, he's running back into a burning building. You see, Jesus had kicked up some dust with the healing of the blind man and his claims of being the good shepherd. And the Judeans had attempted to stone him. He had had to flee across the Jordan, back to where John had been baptizing earlier. A quick note here. You may have noticed, if you are following along with the text as it was read, that I replaced the NRSV's translation of Jews with Judeans. And the reason for that is that the John's Gospel has been hijacked for anti-Semitic purposes for millennia. So following recent scholarship, I'm using the more historical Judeans to place the story in as much context as possible, that all of these characters, Jesus included, his disciples included, are Jews. But back to what this story teaches us when we feel or experience God as delayed. This story tells us that God does not delay out of lack of love. John is explicit. Jesus loved Lazarus, and not just Lazarus, but Martha and Mary. And nor will God delay because of rejection. Even when it can sometimes feel like our society does its best to drive Christ out, Christ doesn't reject us in turn. Christ doesn't refuse to be further involved with us. And nor will God delay out of fear. Christ isn't afraid of death, not the stoning and arrest he had already alluded. Christ comes back to the burning building. As one who grew up on and who still resonates with Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire," it means that Christ comes back, even to a world that is burning. And Christ isn't afraid of the stench of death. I don't often take much note of how long Lazarus had been in the tomb as a detail of this story, until this year. 4 days. Not just ill 4 days ago, in the tomb 4 days. It seems that even if Jesus had left immediately when Mary and Martha first summoned him, he might not have arrived in time. But I'm also appreciating that count, as counts are starting to loom large in our lives. In the tomb, 4 days. In our times, comparisons between different countries' experiences of COVID-19 are shared, with infections and deaths counted. On other charts, we count days, where each country's day zero is the day on which the count of confirmed cases compiled by researchers at Johns Hopkins University passed 100. We use the graphs to then try to wrap our minds around what might happen, and and what efforts might mitigate our experiences of this disease. There are still other counts. Talking heads speculate on how many days of restriction the economy can survive. On social media, some are counting days under social distancing restrictions, logging the days of homeschool, self-isolation, or lockdown. Maybe you are on day 25 or day 13. Maybe you're counting the Sundays of suspended in-person worship. And we might be tempted to bring our counts to God. Lord, already there is a stench. But this story tells us that whatever the count, God's power is bigger. Whatever time we need as a community, as a country, as a world, to try to minimize the infection rate so that resources are available to those hit hardest, there's no time that is too far gone for Christ to show up. Christ will be there. I'd argue Christ is there, is here now, in the tombs and rooms with us as we keep count, loving us, weeping with us, but also waiting to take away the stones and the restrictions when it is time. I often like to imagine how healing or a miracle assages the needs and wants of the individuals and communities that experience them, how their lives are transformed by whatever happened. As if I might order up that miracle in my life, in my time. It's important to remember, as a colleague pointed out this week, that for every blind man healed, perhaps for every Lazarus raised, there is a Paul who is left with a thorn in his side. But the Gospel of John is less interested in the miracles themselves and more focused on what they point to. For John, miracles are signs. They point to something beyond themselves. Their purpose, their meaning, is beyond the immediate. What does this mean when I am still bracing for infections and for death? While Jesus' words about belief in the resurrection are harder to understand and apply in the face of pandemic, Lazarus's resurrection is still a sign for us. It's okay to struggle with what resurrection in life literally means right now. But in the midst of our confusion with Martha, we can trust the one that this and all the other stories point to. We can believe in Messiah, the Son of God, who is in the world. We cling to Christ, who loves us, who is unafraid of death, who is unafraid of how we count time, and who promises life. Amen.